Let's open the scriptures in the Gospel according to John, chapter 21. John chapter 21, and we will start reading in verse 15 till the end of the chapter. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. And then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went his saying abroad among the brethren that a disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that this testimony is true. And there are also many of other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Congregation, I would ask your attention for this portion of Scripture, in particular what we find in verse 19, the second half. John chapter 21, verse 19, the second half, these words, And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. The congregation, we have had the Good Friday services, and you have listened, and we have remembered that deep day, that very deep moment that the Lord Jesus cried out, It is finished. It is done. We have heard with Easter how God the Father repeated these words to his Son. My Son, it is finished. And he had risen him from the death, and Jesus arose. But children, how long ago did that happen? 2,000 years. That's something from the past. But what we have to do with that for today, and it has been preached to you, the meaning of that for our personal lives. But that's not the only thing. Yes, we are here together to hear these words, to, like we sung in the first solar, to trust these truths. May I ask you, is that your life to live out of the truth of God's word? What happened Good Friday? What happened with Easter? But that's not the only thing. We cannot keep that message for ourselves. That message needs to be proclaimed in this world. That message needs to be explained to others. And that's what the Lord Jesus was speaking to Peter when he called him again. Peter, follow me. And several verses again. Then he says, follow thou me, Peter. And congregation, that's our task. That's our calling. God is calling not only Peter, God is calling the church. Go ye therefore. The Lord Jesus has spoken in Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So everyone needs to hear that word of God. And now not everyone can become a pastor or an elder or a deacon or a minister or a missionary. But still, this is the call to the church. And the church, that's you. And God will on one day ask you what you did with that call. Follow me. Follow me. So, and I want to like to speak about this well-known portion of scripture from that perspective. What does it mean to follow Christ? What is God requiring from such a person? What is actually following Jesus? What does that mean? This is a question not only for adults, but that's also a question for our youth, for our children. What does that mean to follow Christ, to follow Jesus? And I would like to do that in five different aspects, what we can find in this text. First, he's calling Peter as a sinner, we will see. Secondly, he made Peter very honest. Thirdly, Peter confessed his love for Jesus. Fourthly, He was called for a specific task. Feed my lamb, feed my sheep. And fifthly, he was called to follow. That means to called to let Jesus go first. God is calling sinners. God makes those sinners honest and fair. Those sinners love Christ, called for a specific task, called to let Jesus go first. Peter, we know Peter very well. I think he is the famous apostle. We know many stories about Peter. And children, we know Peter was a man who was very outspoken. He made a strong confession. He had strong opinions also, but he had also a high self-esteem. We can find it in scriptures. When the Lord Jesus was asking his disciples and you, what do you say about me? And Peter was very clear when he answered, thou art the Christ, thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. No doubt. It's Peter, strong confession. Also a man with a strong opinion. Matthew 16:22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, that's Jesus, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. He said, Lord, this will never happen. That day that those people will kill you. Will never happen. And then the Lord turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. Peter was also a man who had a high self-esteem, we know. When he said in the same chapter, in Matthew 26, when the Lord Jesus was telling about the sufferings to come, he said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Can you imagine that, children? That he would say, Lord, look, to all the other disciples, you can see them. They may do that. They may do that. But I will never do. Do you hear? The pride. Do you taste the pride in his heart? Yes, he was a Christian. He was a child of the Lord. High self-esteem. And we know how it ended in the courtroom of Caiaphas, the high priest. How he, with cursing and swearing, denied the Lord. Peter. And yes, after that and after the Lord Jesus died, we see Peter again going to the sepulchre. Yes, there is still that love in his heart. And we know from other portions of the Bible, from Luke 24:34 and 1 Corinthians 15, that there had been a meeting between Jesus and between Peter in person. And what is spoken there, we don't know. And then after all these things, we read in chapter 21 of the Gospel according to John, that Peter said, I go back to my old life. I follow my own thoughts. And congregation, that man was called to become a preacher of the gospel. Can you imagine that? Those people need Jesus to be his servant. No, not perfect religious people. No Pharisees. Sinners. Sinners. God is calling sinners. Jesus is calling sinners this afternoon unto himself. Ungodly people. Who cannot find any worthiness in themselves. People who are not fitting. People who will say, Lord, oh, I could believe this when I could pray more better and when I had not such a hard heart and when my unbelief was not that strong. And I can imagine that. You want to be such a pious person, isn't it? But God is not calling pious people. And then I mean pious people in themselves. God is calling sinners. God is calling sinners. Like Peter, and is here a sinner in this afternoon who had to say, oh Lord, how I can ever serve thee? How I can serve thee as a father in the family? Called to be a father. Called to be a mother. Called to be a teacher. Called to be an office bearer, called to be a minister of the word, called to be a missionary, whatever. Because when I look to myself, Lord, it's impossible. Listen, God is calling sinners in his ministry. Don't forget it. That's the message of the scripture. Sinners who are saved. And that's what we see in our second thought. How does Jesus deal with those sinners? That's what we see in this story. Jesus made Peter very honest. How did he do that, children? When you think about that story, and maybe you have experienced that, it can happen. I think about children, youth. You had a good friend, and you maybe you're part from a peer group of friends, you know, and then one of them was talking about in a negative way about you. And that's what you heard. And that's so painful, isn't it? You can't sleep from that. Such a good friend is talking in that way. That's so painful. When they question your integrity, when they speak about you in a negative way, when they deny you, when they won't like to see you anymore. Now that's what happened with the Lord Jesus. It was in the presence of Jesus that Peter three times, and he was swearing and cursing. He said, I don't know that man. I don't know that man. I don't belong to him. I belong to you guys. And there was the Savior who was on the way. Who was on the way to give his life for the sin of that man. Can you imagine the pain in the heart of the Lord? What a pain. And how you would respond when a friend did the same thing with you. I think you feel angry, isn't it? You would go and you would say, what are you doing, man? Why you did it? What does Jesus? Oh, congregation, Jesus, he went to Peter, filled with love. Oh, he wasn't mad. He wasn't angry. He actually was waiting on the shore of the river for Peter again. And yes, maybe Peter didn't like that. I spoke already about that he had a private moment with the Lord Jesus, like we can find, and I am sure they have spoken about what had happened in the courtroom of Caiaphas. And maybe Peter thought after that it's done, it's over. But it wasn't. Why not? Why not, children? Why did the Lord Jesus actually in this story, although we can't find it explicit, but implicit you can see it, that the Lord Jesus came back on what had happened in that courtroom. He had denied the Lord Jesus three times, and now he is asking three times, Peter, was that true? Why he came back on that story, on that event? Why? Because congregation, Peter did not sin in secret, but he sinned in public, openly, and openly committed sins need to be dealt with in a public way, also today, also in the church. And that's what the Lord Jesus did. Oh, Peter had openly denied his Savior. And oh, I'm sure, can you imagine? And I'm sure if you know the Lord, you can't live with your sin, isn't it? Or you can. Do you? Can you live with your sin? When there is a sin in between you and between the Lord Jesus. And when you are aware of that, can you live with that? Or maybe a long time, like David did. But there will come a moment and you feel the sin is in between and it cannot be there. And you will go on your knees and you will confess your sins and to clear up what's in between. And so the Lord Jesus did. Peter, do you love me? That was his question. And maybe children, you would think this is a simple question, eh? Maybe we would have all kind of questions, but Lord Jesus has one simple question. Peter, do you love me? Actually, he said, Simon, and let us read it carefully. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That's what he told. Children, do you remember that? That's what he had said, he had spoken. He said, oh, although all men shall be offended because of thee, I will never be offended. And now the Lord Jesus asked him, Peter, is that true? Is that true? Was that true? Oh, that's a painful question. Congregation, it is so remarkable. Eh? The Lord Jesus, when he comes to Peter with that question, he goes not beyond the whole problem. That's what he never does. When God is dealing with a sinner, when God is drawing a sinner unto him by the Holy Spirit, he goes right away to your heart. And he opens right away the point, what's the problem in your life. He showed you that problem. He didn't talk with Peter about, Peter, did you confess your sins? He had. He didn't also say, Peter, have you prayed? Have you? No, he didn't. He just asked that one question. Do you love me? And congregation, this is the question also this afternoon. For me and for every one of us. Do you, this very person, do you love me? He didn't say, do you love the church? Do you love singing? Do you love whatever? Do you love me? And congregation, this is at the same time the deepest question Jesus can ever ask a man. Because Jesus didn't like your religion. We can go to church and we can be church going people, and we can be reformed, and we can have the right doctrine, and we can have the right confession, and we can be a pastor or a deacon or an elder or whatever. It's totally not important. This afternoon, oh my dear people, Jesus is calling us before his judgment seat right now. All together. That's the question he will ask you. When you arrived at the judgment seat of God, do you love me? That's a very straight question. There are only two answers possible. Only two answers. Yes or no. There is no way in between, congregation. We often think there is a third way. We have the world, we have the true Christians, and in between we have church-going people, confession people, and all those, you know that. And they are a little bit on the way to heaven, but not actually there, but they are not like the world. But that's totally against the scriptures. Oh yes, we are a covenant congregation, a baptized congregation. Oh yes, that's true. But don't make that mistake that the Lord Jesus has spoken to Nicodemus, who was a baptized, who was a circumcised man. Verily, verily, I say unto you, and I say it with my own words, without that new birth, you can't enter the kingdom of God. That birth from above, that wonderful work of the Holy Spirit that makes a sinner alive. And what's the fruit of that? To love Jesus. To love Christ. Why? Jesus could ask, I mentioned already, he could ask Peter, do you have convictions of your sin? And when God comes in a sinner's life, you will have conviction of sin, for sure. That's what the Lord Jesus has promised. The Holy Spirit shall convince about sin. People who are not convinced about sin are not Christians at all. That's the work of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. What sin? Now I started with that first point. Who was Peter? He was a sinner. And the thing, congregation, is Peter knew. He was aware. He was completely aware being a sinner. Because when the Lord Jesus was asking that question, I can imagine he had to be completely, confused. Because he could easily say, yes, Lord, it's true, I love thee. But at the same time, his whole life was testifying against him. And now God comes this afternoon to you, my dear friend, and he is asking you in person, do you love me? And what did Peter to say? He could say, yes, Lord, yes, I think I do, but when I look to myself and my sins, and no, Lord Jesus says, no, don't talk about it. I ask you just that one simple question. Do you love me? Do you love me? Simon, son of Jonas, Simon, son of Adam. Oh, congregation, this is very discovering for Peter. It has to show who Peter actually is. His pride. His words. His sin. And congregation, that's hard. Isn't it? Do you know that? That's not an easy thing. When the Holy Spirit starts to discover a sinner and he makes you a sinner, no, then you don't think you go to heaven. Oh, no. Can you realize, oh, I'm on the wrong way. I am an enemy of God. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. Why? Why, congregation? Why the Lord Jesus deals with Peter in this way? Yes, Peter was a Christian already. But why he is also dealing with Christians today in this way? Why? That Peter will lose all his self-esteem and just only is willing to follow Christ and to follow his footsteps. Cannot trust anymore in his own life, in his own choices, in his own faith. That's a hard thing, congregation. That's a hard thing. Time and again, when I have to get rid of all my self-righteousness, do you know what I'm talking about? That all my self-righteousness becomes filthy rags, Isaiah said. Do you know what I mean? Once I heard a pastor, and quite often I mention that, but maybe you have heard it before, but it touched my heart deeply. That a pastor said when in his sermons, he said, my most sincere prayers have enough sin in it to condemn me for eternity. Do you agree with him? Your most sincere prayers. Oh, I'm sure between Christ and my soul, Christ makes me honest, makes me true. And he shows me what's in my heart. He shows me what are my intentions. He shows me what I can easily speak things. And that's what he did with Peter. Peter, do you love me? And congregation, why is that question so important? Oh, by nature we love ourselves. By nature we trust our own thoughts. By nature we are trusting everything but Christ. Oh yes, and maybe that's your life. Everyone knows about Jesus. And everyone will say, yes, Jesus died at the cross for sinners, and I'm a sinner, and he is my Savior. And I'm praying, Jesus, help me, please, to become a good Christian. Jesus, a helping Savior. Oh, congregations, I'm, to be honest, afraid for that. People who have enough on a helping Savior. But when Jesus is only a helping Savior, you have nothing. You are lost. Our Heidelberg Catechism is very clear. Jesus is or a complete Savior, or he is nothing. Or he is my complete Savior, or he is my complete righteousness, or he is my complete holiness. But when he is your holiness for 95%, and 5% is myself, and he asked you this afternoon, do you love me? 100%. Is my finished work your only hope? Is my righteousness your only expectation? Or not? And congregation, then you feel, hey, when we are honest this afternoon, and hopefully you will bring this before the Lord in prayer, and you will ask that question in front of the Lord. Lord, discover my heart. What's in my heart? Because we trust ourselves so easily. Isn't it? How easily we can start to build on our offices as an office bearer, thinking, oh, I'm a pastor. Or did you discover this as like Peter did, to be a sinner in the deepest corners of your heart? No righteousness in my life, but it is everything in him. in that precious Savior. And that is Jesus asking for, Peter, do you love me? And what's his answer? That's the third part. What's the answer of Peter? Oh, congregation, we know. Three times he said, Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest. I love thee. Oh, congregation, that's a wonderful thing, eh? Oh, when this question comes to your soul and you have to say so much things and everything is testifying against you. You can the same thing find in Lord's Day 23. When your conscience, when my conscience is accusing me, everything is accusing me. What to say? I have nothing to answer, Lord, when I look to myself. But that's not the question of Jesus. Jesus is just asking, do you love me? And then Peter said, yes, Lord, thou knowest everything. Thou knowest that I love thee. Oh, Lord, thou knowest it. Thou art my witness. Thou knowest what's in my heart. Thou knowest all my sin. Thou knowest what had happened. But also thou knowest, Lord, that I love thee. Why? Children, why this man, why Peter loved the Lord Jesus? Why he could say that? Why he couldn't deny it anymore? Do you know that? Oh, congregation, I'm very aware I can't ask that question in that manner as Jesus did. Jesus asked that question, Peter, with a heart filled with love. Filled with love. It was actually the same eyes as Peter had seen in the courtroom of Caiaphas when the Lord turned him his face unto Peter and looked unto him, and he went out crying bitterly. And here again, he is asking that question face to face. And what did Peter see, children? He saw the love of his Savior. He saw the love of Jesus. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen the love of Christ out of the scriptures in your own life? That will break you. That will break you. That will humble you. But it also will give you so much expectation and so much hope. And he only could reply and he only could say, yes, Lord, thou knowest all things. And although he was grieved when Jesus was asking it three times, but, oh, congregation, that love can be challenged. And the only answer was, Lord, thou knowest. Why? Oh, Peter, he had seen how his Savior went to Calvary's cross. How the Lord Jesus bared the sin of Peter up on the cross. And he was called, follow me. He was called to be a proclaimer of the word. And that's how we Peter find on the day of Pentecost, to proclaim that gospel. Oh, congregation, that's the wonderful thing. Why could Peter say, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee? Because, and that's what the Apostle John says in his epistle, we love him because he first loved us. Herein is the love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. To be able to follow Christ and to proclaim the word in your family as a father, as a mother. The Apostle Paul says, it is the love of Christ which constraineth me. Not Paul's love for Christ, but the other way around. The love of Christ for him that was pushing him to preach. Fathers, How it is in your family worship? Do your children taste the love of Christ in your teachings? When you are teaching your children the Word of God? Mothers? Do your children hear the love of Jesus when you kneel down with your children before you go to bed in prayer, call upon the name of God? Do our colleagues hear the love of Christ in our lives? Do they see the love of Christ? Or do they only see religious people, church-going people? That makes a big difference. Here we see Peter, who was touched by the love of Jesus and by the love of Christ. He only could reply, "Lord, thou knowest everything. Thou knowest that I love thee." And those people, Jesus is calling. And maybe here is a little boy, a young boy. And he will say, "Is God calling me?" Yes, there is a first calling and another calling. You know, the first calling needs to be done in our life. Peter was already called before. He came already to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you are a true Christian. A true Christian came to Christ. And otherwise, you are not a Christian at all. And maybe here's a young person who says, "Can I come to Christ?" Yes. He's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. Follow me. Follow me. Leave your sins. Leave your thoughts. Maybe you will say, "Yes, Lord, but I'm not ready. I'm not fitting. I have everything." He's calling you, congregation. Follow me. Or do you like to follow your own thoughts? Do you like to follow the world? Do you like to follow the money? Do you like to follow whatever is without Christ? Maybe your religion. Or did you see through all these things, it's worthless. It's nothing. Coming Tuesday, Pastor Prosse will be buried. Have you spoke about that? In the face of death, what you will have? Put yourself in that position now. In the face of death, and how soon it can be there, what would be your answer on that question? Do you love me? Maybe you have to say, "I have my money and had my business and I had my things and I had my office and I had everything." But if you don't have Jesus, my dear people, you have nothing. And he will send you away for eternity. But now he is calling you. And he said, "Follow me, leave your sins and bring them all to me." And maybe you say, "I can't come to thee, Lord, I can't." He says, "I'm coming to you. I'm coming." That's what he did. That's what he did with that good Samaritan. He kneeled down to that man. That's what he did this afternoon. He's coming right now in the preaching of his word. Here is Jesus, my congregation. It's not me. Here is Jesus right now. He's calling you who are still following sin and world. Follow me. But then he is also calling Peter to a specific task. Calling to serve. "Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep." And I mentioned already, and I will be briefly about that, he calls us to follow him as fathers, as mothers in our family life. We are called to be a light in the world. In our marriage life, in our family life, in the midst of our friends. It's actually so So amazing when you read it in Acts chapter 8, the first congregation who was destroyed. We know about how Stephen was stoned and he was killed, and the congregation was spread over the whole country. And what they did, children? They were persecuted, and what they did? You can read it in Acts 8:4. And therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, what doing? Preaching the word. Preaching the word. O congregation, you are called to be a preacher of the word. Maybe not as an office bearer, but on the place you are, as in your family, at your work, at school. And other ones, he gave a specific calling. That's what he did with Peter. He actually restored Peter in his office as being an apostle. And also today. That's why I started my sermon. Oh, my dear congregation, not my congregation, but you are called. The church is called. Called to be a missionary in this world. And maybe I'm just speaking with our youth. We need pastors. We need ministers. We need missionaries. We need evangelists. We need Bible translators. We need mission pilots for the Mission Aviation Fellowship. We need them today. And don't think this is maybe something for my neighbor. That's not from me. I'm just a village boy. I'm just a village girl. How I can go to the mission field? Don't say it to me. Say it to God at your knees. This afternoon, go on your knees and say, Lord, thou hast called out of the scriptures, follow me. And thou hast also spoken, Luke 10:2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And maybe God is calling you. Calling you. And congregation, when God calls, he opens the way. Oh, quite often, for I mentioned that. Just a fellow's boy. But God is calling the lowest people. And he said, I will make you a fisher of man. I will make you. That's what he did with Peter. He was making him a fisher of man. And so, congregation, God calls, follow me. To work in his vineyard. And then, yeah, there can be all kind of objections and all kind of impossibilities. And you know, congregation, when God is calling a man or a woman to serve, what and what place, that will be challenged, be sure. There will be moments that you think, oh, how I ever thought to be called. It's impossible. Don't worry. When God calls, he will open the way. He will close other doors. When he, you know, maybe that saying, when he closes a door, he opens a window. And that's quite often what he does. And so he did in the life of Peter. Peter closed the door, and Jesus opened again for him the way. And then the last thought. To follow means let go Jesus first. That I will say, Lord, I don't know the way. I can't go. And a congregation, do you know what I want to say is this? This is what Peter had felt very deeply. How I can go, how I can follow Jesus, how I can go to the Gentiles, how I can go. I'm just a fisherman. I'm just a village girl. Is he calling me? Oh, congregation, that's the thing. Jesus, when he calls people, he shows them their weakness. Yeah. That's the opposite of the world. In the world, we are always, and in business, we are looking for the best people, the most brilliant ones. In the kingdom of God, it's totally the opposite. God is still making people weak and showing them their weakness and to convince them you are not able to become a minister. How you can ever become an elder. How you can ever leave this country and go as a missionary in the world. How is this possible? Look to yourself. Look to your sins. Why? Oh, congregation, to learn what Paul had to learn. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Oh, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Those people are called. And maybe when you can struggle with a calling, maybe that's the problem. That God is still busy to make you weak, weaker in yourself. No hope, no expectation, to lose your hope in your own possibilities. To trust only on him who says, follow me, I go first. I go first, just go in my footsteps. That's all what you have to do. I will do the work. You have to follow me alone. Oh, congregation. And that's what Peter did. And he followed the Lord, and he had been a blessing for the church. Not because of himself, that we have seen, but he was called. He was called as a sinner. He was discovered on his own heart. But he also confessed the Lord being his only Savior, his only hope. Yes, and in his specific situation, he was also called for a specific office, for specific task in the kingdom. And fifthly, to follow, just to follow. Oh, congregation. And that's such a blessed way. If we might follow that Savior. Oh, he is such a faithful Lord. He is such a faithful Lord to follow, to serve, to serve. Oh, his servants, they deserve that they would send away every day again. He never does. He never does. And so, congregation, this is the call upon us. Follow me. Whom are you following? Whom are you following? Today, now, at this moment. Jesus says, follow me.